Well, hey there, idealists. It's Susie here. Welcome to today's Q&A call. How are you? Happy New Year. I'm so looking forward to today's session. Ange and I were exchanging chats just a moment ago, and she said, it's going to be a fabulous year. I agree. I think it's going to be a fabulous year. We have some great questions for you today, some really juicy ones that I think are going to benefit not only the person who asked, but everyone who is here. We are going to be looking at Facebook groups and recommended readings for money and a whole lot of other things. A lot about money, because obviously we're in money mode right here in Ideal and across her business, looking at the money growth zone. So it's perfect that a lot of your questions are around our finances. I can see some people are still arriving. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we do have a few apologies. Maria is on holiday with family. Diane Irving is going to miss the call, but is watching the recording. Howdy. Karen is going to try to get here today, but has assessments for new students, so she'll need to see how she goes. Laurel is unfortunately unable to make this one. Looking forward to the recording. So to all of you who are here live, welcome. For those of you watching the recording, sorry I couldn't see your wonderful face. I am currently in La Jolla in California, which is a beautiful beachside suburb, and I'm here because the mastermind that I attend is meeting here in this city because it's too darn cold in Toronto where we usually go. So it's pretty cool here. It's brisk, shall we say, the mornings are like 8 degrees, and I think right now it's about 16, but I'm indoors, so I'm in a t-shirt, and there's people out there swimming, crazy people out there swimming, but it's beautiful and sunny, and as I said, I can see a blue sky, which is, I had never thought of coming to California to see a blue sky. So here we go. Here's what's coming up. We have got some ideal moments that I will call out. We have, of course, your questions. And if there's any time at the end, I will open the doors to any other questions. And then we're looking at what's next. And I hope to do a project check-in with all of you at the end that we'll have enough time for that as well. So let's kick off with our ideal moment from Christy Lee. This was really cool. She said, I just wanted to share something exciting but silly. I said an out of office email as I'm heading away with my family for a holiday. Yay, I'm very excited. When was the last time I said out of office email? Never. 13 years in business and never. When business was big and busy and great, I thought I always had to be available. When business was small and tough, I definitely thought I had to be available all the time. When I joined Ideal, I distinctly remember writing somewhere, maybe on the application, that taking the family on a holiday in January 2020 was an important goal. And at that time, honestly, I was in such a hole. I wasn't sure it was possible or what it would look like. And I definitely didn't think that I wouldn't be working constantly the entire time I was away. So I wanted to share this and say I'm so incredibly thankful for this group and the support and encouragement I received from Susie and each of you. You're all amazing. So if I don't make next week's Q&A call, it's probably because I'm trying to make sure one of the kids isn't trying to snorkel off to another country, but I'll be sure to catch up on the recording. This made me so happy because it just shows what a group of focused women can do together. And Christy Lee, your commitment to making changes in your business is really admirable, and we've seen you take step after step after step, whether it's developing the new product or services it is that you're offering, whether it's developing your lead magnet, whether it's looking at your ideal customer, all the things, you're participating fully. And for that, I congratulate you, and I hope you're having a great vacation. And I love this photo of Deb, who is here, and Laurel, who couldn't make it today, at the Salamanca Markets. When I was in Tasmania Christmas before last, I just didn't happen to be there in Tassie on the day that the markets run, so I didn't get to see it, and certainly didn't get to see Deb. So it was just lovely to see the two of you connect. So nice, says Deb, to put faces to names. And of course, Karina got herself in front of the camera taking photos that she's going to be able to use on her social, on her website. This is such a great move. You've put so many things already in place, Karina, with the new branding and the new website and all the products on the website and getting your hero images down. And I'm glad you're taking up my encouragement, and I'm sure everyone here would encourage you to also be the front of your brand, really let people get to know you. And I know from personal experience, for the longest time I was the great back of room person. I would always, you know, put to the forefront the speakers and the experts, and I was great at running the show in the background, or always being, you know, the host, but not the talent. And it really took a lot of encouragement from a couple of people to get me more and more in front of our brand. And so I'm really excited to see that. And Hope sales are going well as well. This post here, I asked you to reflect on your next project. And a couple of people, Christy Lee, Jane, have given me updates. And I'm hoping to get some updates from the rest of you as well. And really, it doesn't matter where you're at, as long as you can either start with a clean slate or you have sense of what project you're working on. So we'll check in a little later today. And if you are not here live, please go ahead and update us inside the group on your project status. All right, Sonia says she can't do video today. She's walking to an appointment. No worries. Well, I wasn't sure about the connection here, but it seems to be working. Do you like my silver wallpaper? Isn't it groovy? So I'm in a really old hotel. I mean, it's been renovated, but it's really, really old, but it's right on the water. If I could turn my camera around, I would, but I don't think I can do that with my laptop. It's in a really great position, but it's got a few little kind of quirky things like this wallpaper. All right. Let's get to your very fancy sister, Chandra. Hi. All right. Let's get to your question. The first question is actually yours, one of yours, Chandra. So this question, Chandra is after some recommendations of money books. Now, I sort of dug into my library of, what have I enjoyed and what have I done? But I also put the question this morning inside of the member group and so there are some great suggestions there as well. And one of the members said, my list of books to read is getting very long. And of course, you don't have to read all of them. Now, some of these books are very practical. Here's where you put your money, and others are more mindset. And I know for me, I can do with both, right? Both the practical of how do I understand figures, but also working on mindset. So for me, the book that sort of was probably the first book I read around money that really shifted my thinking was the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So here are some of the books, and I'll just walk through my relationship with these. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad is by Robert Kiyosaki. It really explains the difference between income and expenses, investments and liabilities. So it's a little more of a personal finance investment style book than it is a how to run your small business. But it was good for my mindset to understand that my business was a vehicle for me to take money and put it into investments. And it really introduced me to the idea of creating leveraged income and passive income that didn't depend on me and my blood, sweat, and tears. The book that you see just to the right of that is Cashflow Quadrant. And this is perhaps my favorite, not perhaps, it is my favorite of the Rich Dad books, of which there are now many, because it really deals with the difference between an employee and a self-employed person, a business owner and an investor, and where their income comes from. And so just in last week's roundtable, I talked about this a little bit, and the fact that employees get a salary. Self-employed work for themselves and are often like the most important person on their team, but they're also not usually leveraged. This is what I call in our her business, solopreneur to entrepreneur model. I call the solopreneur. So this person can usually do things better than anyone else and is not indispensable. Like if they're not there, usually money's not coming in. And a lot of us in small business start that way. The business owner, however, has products and systems that allow money to come in even when they're not working. And when I got that distinction between Kiyosaki's self-employed and business owner, that's when things changed. That's when we changed our business model, the types of products and services, and then also got introduced to this idea of investing our money, not just earning money and spending it, or earning money and saving it, but actually putting it somewhere, which meant that one day those investments for us covered our expenses, our living expenses, which meant we could choose to work but didn't have to work. If we wanted to increase our living standards, then we would need to increase our passive income. So that's probably more than you wanted to know about that. Finally signed up to Audible, says Deb. Yeah, great. I listened to Audibles and I did quite a lot of that over the holidays, actually. It's the best only chance I have of reading books from the top. Yes, says Sonia. I have found that the local library has something similar, but it's free. Great. Great. Hey, Fran, welcome. So then to the right of that, you see Profit First. Now, this is by Mike Michalowicz, who was one of our summit speakers. There is actually a webinar inside of your training library where I interviewed Mike about Profit First. And you'll see inside of the Facebook group, the member group this morning, so many members have talked about Profit First. Now, this gives you a specific way to treat your money so that you are always paying yourself. Even when you have very little money coming in, Chandra, his method, it's about multiple accounts and using them for different purposes, means that you do take some money out for yourself every single time that the taxes are paid. And he has this who here, just say yes in chat or wave your hand or something if you're using Profit First. Anyone here using the Profit First system? All right, let me know. It's apparently very, very good. It's not what we use. We have kind of our own system. Yeah, Karen's using it. So highly recommend it as a place to start. Rich Woman is by Kim Kiyosaki. It is still along the lines of the Rich Dad message, but it's more from a women's perspective. And she's a real champion of women being financially independent. And she always says, a man is not a plan. And I totally agree with her. Then we have Overcoming Under-Earning. Now, I have not read this one. This one was recommended to me over the Christmas break by a friend who was in town and visited for a couple of days. I have not read it, but it's come into my reality twice in the last 2 weeks. So I'm thinking it's one that I'll pick up on Audible. And the one in the middle on the bottom, I did listen to actually over the break, and it's called Money, A Love Story by Kate Northrup. Now, it's a few years old, but it's really about money mindset. And she's very, very good. I think she narrates it really beautifully. She tells her own story. She has some great strategies, and she has a diagnostic so you can get a sense of where your money mindset is. Definitely more on the mindset. And then Think and Grow Rich for Women is based on the classic Think and Grow Rich, but was written by Sharon Lecter, who was part of the Rich Dad organization, more around using these universal money principles, but how women can use them. So they are some suggestions. And if anyone has any more, please pipe up, let me know so that we can pass this on to Chandra. But I would recommend, if you haven't done any of those, as far as a practical, Money, A Love Story is great for mindset. There is one more book that I don't have a photo of here and that I have not read. It's called Unscramble Your Numbers, and it's by Amanda Fisher, who's one of our members. And this was one that was recommended inside of the member Facebook group. And I know from what I know about Amanda, it's going to be very practical as far as what it explains. So I hope that helps. Chandra says, I have some insight but haven't read it. Karen says, I have done it in my home money as well. My grown-up kids have also implemented it into their lives, which is really cool to see. Oh, that is really cool to see. That is really great to hear. Yeah, terrific. So hope that answers your question, Chandra, and let me know if there is anything more that you want to know about that. The next question we have here is from Jane, and she says, I have a couple of interrelated questions that are about setting up a financial monitoring system. I use Xero, which has lots of reports that I can run, but I want to know what are the most important numbers to keep a close eye on? Aside from looking at what money is in the bank and making sure there's enough to pay the bills, what are the key most important metrics, numbers, reports we can, should use to see whether something is profitable or not? Should we monitor at the individual product level or at the company level or both? How often should we crunch and review our numbers? Sorry if I've asked too many questions. There are never too many questions. This is great. One thing I want to say to all of you is please put aside the 29th of January to listen to PJ's masterclass on money. He's going to be going much deeper into this than I will or that I even can. He has far more distinctions on these things. And Sonia says, great question, Jane. Yeah, it really is. So my answer is going to be sort of multifaceted. The first thing is, when you're looking at the numbers, it partly depends what hat you're wearing. Are you wearing the marketer's hat? Because as marketers, we may look at the profitability of a product or service in a different way. Let me give you an example. We as marketers might be willing to lose money on something because we know that there is something else that we're going to sell them. So I might be willing to lose money on a low-cost item because it gets me a lead that I know is they're going to buy something later. Like I remember when I worked at Virgin Megastores, way back when, we would sell the top 20 albums for $1.99. Now, we were losing money on every single album, but what we knew is that once we got someone in the store, they were likely going to buy something else. And we knew that from history, we knew it because we knew the business very well. And so we were happy to discount the top 20 titles because ultimately the amount that someone would spend would be higher. So if I was wearing a finance hat, then I would be wanting, you know, to be really clear that my income, less my expenses and cost of sales, was leaving a profit. So I'm looking at it differently. Or as a manager hat, allocating resources, you might determine that something is profitable or not by the amount of resources you have to put into it. So is it a good allocation of staff resources, for instance, on a particular project, or is it the return from that project really not worth that much labor going into it or your labor? And it becomes a little different when you're talking products and services, physical products and services like Deb might have, where she has her profit margin that is really easily distinguishable. She has her manufacturing costs, you know, so she has her cost of sales and she has her expenses overall. And you want to make sure that you know what you're looking at. And so income is income, right? Income realized. But then knowing your expenses from your cost of sales, knowing that some things you're going to have to pay every month, whether you make a dollar or not, and some things that are dependent on what it is that you're selling. So if you are doing a training and you bring in a training consultant, if you're not doing that training, you don't need to pay them. So just really looking at numbers from many different angles. But the first thing is, do you have a budget? And you can tell me right here in chat, do you have a budget? Because the first thing I would be looking at is, how am I performing to budget? So that's why it's really important that we set our budget. And even if you haven't done that yet for this financial year, I know that Peter is going to be talking to you about making sure you set it for the next 6 months or what's left of this financial year. Because once we have a budget in place, then the number we're looking at every month, and what I look at every month, is how are we performing to budget? Are we above, ahead, or are we behind? And so ultimately, as I said, the numbers are what's coming in, what's going out, and what's left over. But what money in the bank is really not a good indicator of where the business is growing, where the business is going and how healthy it is. Because what it doesn't tell you is, what do I need to pay out next month? And right, so we can't really just look at the bank and go, well, that's going to cover salaries, I'm good, if we don't have another contract that's in place that's coming in next month, or we don't know there's some cash. So we want our budget, but you also want to have some cash flow projections. And these get easier with history, right? Because if you know that, well, here's my cycles, here's where the money comes in, then your budget's going to pretty much mirror that, but your budget is different. Your budget is saying, this is what it's going to cost to run the business this year, and this is what's going to be left over. Your cash flow projections are going to say, and cash flow is king, right? Because you can, if you run out of cash flow, right, you have no business. And so what I look at every month is how we're performing to budget. But if I didn't have a budget, that would be really hard to do. And we can project our cash flow because we, again, have history. So we know that, you know, in May, traditionally, we are bringing in ideal income. In September, we're bringing in membership income. And so we can budget for that income, but we also know where our lulls are. We know that while we take money for reach, we take some of it before Christmas, we've got to hold on to that money. Just because it's in the bank, it doesn't mean we can use it, because we're not paying the hotel till closer to October. So that money is not ours, right, to spend. And so it can be really risky just looking at the money in the bank, because it can be quite a false indicator. So that's my main thing. The problem that I see quite often with businesses is that when you are doing well, where there is a lot of cash flow, some businesses will look and there's a lot of money in the bank, so they think that's a good time to upgrade the car or to pay some extra money off the mortgage. And what you want to do is be really clear about the money in the bank. Whose is it? Where does it belong? How long does it need to stay there before it gets allocated to everything? And a disciplined business, one that has been established fully and all the accounts set up, is going to have you receive money two different ways. One, a salary. That's a nice day when you can pay yourself a salary. The other is dividends. And they're two very different things. So your salary is going to be paid to you because it's in the budget, right? It just gets paid to you every month. Whereas dividends will get paid to you if and when profit is received. So sometimes that'll only happen once a year, or you might get quarterly dividends, but that's a little more complicated. So in the masterclass that PJ is doing, he's going to go further into that. Robin, if you can answer Fran's question in chat there, that'd be great. So monitoring at an individual product level, you definitely want to do that. As I said, it's a little harder on services, but it can still be done. Once we know our business well, we will know what is working and what is not working as far as our products and services. But again, you just want to remember what is something that you're going to have to pay regardless. Are there contractors? Are there venues? So for us, I'll show you the way we do it. So we monitor the overall performance of the business every single month, but I get weekly reports so I can see who do we owe money, who owes us money every single week, and how much money is in the bank. But also on a monthly basis, I'm looking at performance to budget. When it comes to the individual programs, whether it's Ideal or Reach or membership, we don't necessarily reconcile. But what I do look at is attrition. And so someone like Karen, because she's got students that are coming in and going out, if she loses 20 students a month, that's going to implicate her cash flow moving forward. If we lose 20 members a month, we know that's going to implicate things moving forward. But something like Reach, we will reconcile once the program's over. But we kind of we have a budget for it because we've done it for the third time. Something like Mastermind, because we have a partner in that, because Michelle Falzon is part of that program, we reconcile that every month and distribute funds. So I don't know if that answers your question well enough. The first time we did Reach, we paid a lot more attention to every single dollar we were spending, marketing dollars, staffing dollars, resources, technology. We really watched that very, very closely. Now we know what to expect and we know what our break even is, but what we have to watch right now for us, and this might be relevant to anyone here who has overseas suppliers, is we're watching the American dollar, because that can bite us in the butt really easily. And that's really hard to predict. So one thing we're looking at all the time is, what's the dollar doing? Do we need to buy some US dollars now because we think it's going to drop? Or are we going to just hedge our bets? Because those little things can really upset our cash flow, but also our profitability. Just going to look at a couple of these comments. Jane says she has a budget for the company and individual projects. Great. So what I would look at is then your cash flow projections. That might be the next level for you. The masterclass is being recorded, is going to be available to watch. And I think that what we're going to do, especially for idealists, is give the opportunity to ask questions ahead of time that PJ can answer there on the call. They'll benefit for anyone who's watching, but the masterclass is actually open to all members. Yeah, Jane says that gives me a lot of info and clues as to what I need to set up in the financial monitoring system. Great. Good, good, good. Numbers are fun. We love numbers. That's going to be my mantra. All right. Karen couldn't be here today. She's doing assessments with students, but she did put this question forward that I wanted to answer. She says she would love some pointers on how to better manage cash flow. Also, the number one question she... Karen's here. Hey. She says the number one question she gets from her husband is related with money spent on advertising marketing. How much do you need to spend to get a lead? Is there a more accurate way to monitor the ROI for marketing? How much money is too much to spend on advertising? This is a really great question. Let me see if I can see. Do you have a budget, Karen? Yeah? Maybe you can put it in chat for me. Because again, I would be looking, I'm going to ask all of you that. Do you have a budget? About 20% of revenue. Okay. So if you Googled how much of my income should I spend on marketing, you're going to get anything from 5% to 20%. I don't know where they make these figures up from, but here's how we think about it. One, do I have a budget? What amount have I put in the budget for marketing? And, you know, knowing that I need to put an amount. And marketing is going to include advertising. It's going to include the cost of social media platforms that are only used for marketing. It's going to be any graphic design costs, any copywriting costs, lead pages, all those things, right? So my questions to you, Karen, because you had two parts to your question on managing cash flow, is very similar to what I said to Jane, having a budget and then having a cash flow projection. So the cash flow is going to be, when is cash due in and out? Now, because you have students signing up, I suspect they sign up for a series of classes, you can pretty much predict your cash flow from month to month, but you're also watching your attrition. And because you've been in business for a while, your history is going to be kind of the best indicator of what money you can expect. Now, remember, your budget and your cash flow are also going to mirror your marketing activity. So it should be, well, if we're going to do a new year promotion for schools, I know that those marketing invoices for all the ads I've run, they're going to be due whenever they're due, right? And that's how it's going to be reflected in your numbers. But what is the right amount? It's really up to you. The first thing you want to know is your margins on a product, right? So before you can decide how much you can spend on marketing, you need to know how much you can spend on marketing. So for us, for instance, we could say, we just did this analysis the other day. So last year, one of the places we were running ads was SourceBottle, which is that free PR tool that many of you will have heard of. So we spent about, $3,000 in ads with SourceBottle. We got about 300 leads. So we were calculating those leads at being $10 a lead, which is kind of expensive, but it's not, you know, over the top, because if, you know, that person buys membership, then, you know, that makes it worthwhile. But just in retrospect, because we're now marketing Summit again, we went back and looked at, well, of those 300 leads that we got, how much income has been generated from leads that came from SourceBomb? And when we looked at it, each lead had got, we had three people who had become clients. So it cost us $1,000 a lead, which is way too much. So guess what? We're not going back to SourceBomb to advertise this time. It's a great medium. It just wasn't the type of lead that was going to turn into a client. So that's part of your deciding how much to spend. Like right now we are spending money to get leads from three different sources, the Summit, our 20 Must Enter Awards lead magnet, and our quiz. And it's only with a little bit of time that we can see, well, are they, all leads are not equal. And so how much I'm willing, I might be willing to spend more on one lead generation strategy because I know I'm getting higher quality leads, even if they cost me a bit more. It's why I would pay for an affiliate. Like if there was another organization that was a good partnership for us, I would pay them more for a lead than I would going to cold traffic. Does that make sense? So not all leads are equal. And so for you, and this will be a way to work with your husband on it, it's a matter of you even just going back, looking at what did you spend when you generated those leads, how did they track? So whenever we're doing a lead generation, we want to make sure that we can track it because it's only in looking back at those source bottle leads, just like I will look back at the Facebook ad leads that we're doing, like the leads that are coming from the quiz or the international leads we're getting. Like unless we set it up from the beginning that we can one, track our leads, and two, we actually go back and analyze, then we don't know if we're spending our money in the right place. Because we might go, okay, I'm spending $500 on Facebook ads and because I want to fill my course, but you want to go back and know specifically what worked and what didn't so that you can do more. Because anytime if I'm spending a dollar and I'm getting even $1.10 back, then I will spend a dollar all day long. But it's not always easy to know that unless we set it up so that we can track it. Fran says, Karen, sometimes when I'm trying a new program, I will put a percentage of the first sales back into marketing. Yeah, great. So you'll get more sophisticated knowing where your good lead sources are than where your bad sources are and which channels work really well for you. And of course, things like referrals are going to cost you less than cold traffic advertising. Traffic to warm leads, so to people who follow your Facebook page or people who have downloaded something or lookalike audience to your email list are going to cost you less than if you go to a brand new audience. And that's a good way to sort of monitor what your costs are. For us, certainly, lookalike audiences work very, very well. The other thing is once we have those leads, we all know that saying that it costs X many times more to get a new customer than sell again to an existing customer. One of the things, and we haven't always been great at doing this, is that whenever you have a lead, Karen, is having a way to nurture that lead because some people don't buy immediately. In fact, a lot of people don't buy immediately. There's some quick starts who are like, they're in, you know, they see an ad, they buy, they'll spend the money. But some people, I mean, Tasha Jennings, who is has been part of our Marketing Success Mastermind now for 3 years, I think. She was on our mailing list for 5 years and never bought anything. And the first thing she purchased was the Mastermind, right? Which is our most expensive product, which is a service. And so you want to be sure that you are nurturing those because the worst thing we can do is have this leaky bucket where leads are coming in and they're dropping out because our marketing isn't speaking to them or our we're not nurturing them. So I don't want you to underspend either. Some of you are not spending enough on marketing. We certainly weren't. We were hoping that just organically we would continue to build our database. But with email marketing getting difficult in some places, people aren't reading their emails as much, we have had to start paying for advertising to retarget people. And so we know for us right now, paying up to $4 a lead is a number that works for us. But again, it only works because we can track back and say, okay, of the leads that we got in you know, this period of time, here's what they've turned into or not turned into. And so we're tracking every single lead at this point and always testing. So I don't know if that answers your question enough. If anyone else has any other thoughts, that'd be great. And if you can be more specific about what it is that you feel could support you with explaining it to your husband, then let me know. And we did answer the question about what numbers to look at. Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you as well. All righty. How are we all doing? Well, good. Hey, Sean, good to see you here. Okay, I was getting some nods. It's great. Hey, Anita. Oh, so lovely to see your faces. Sonia's here as well. The other Sonia who I haven't seen for a while. The next question we have is actually from Chandra. Chandra got in a second question because she's smart. And she had another question. So I'm going to go ahead and answer it. Now, this one here, I actually don't know whether you responded to me, Chandra, but I wasn't sure if the exactly what the question was. But here's what you said. You said, I want to rename my private Facebook group to attract 40-plus women. So women who are 40 plus in age who want to transition from a successful but unfulfilling management role or career into working for themselves. Ideal client works in a creative industry or role, for example, media, marketing, etc. And they may start a side gig or want to make it happen sooner, but the focus will be on helping them create a plan to make the move when they're away. So what I wasn't sure about, Chandra, and I'll see if I can find you here. Yeah. I've just unmuted you. I'm not sure if that's working. Hey, how are you doing?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I have a razor blade sore throat.
Oh, I won't let you talk too long, but I wasn't sure if the question, what the question was.
It was mostly about ideas for renaming it because it's, I mean, it's just called the Transit Lounge.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. So more about a name that's going to be more effective in attracting the right kind of people and feel like that's kind of fit.
Gotcha. So it's really about the name.
Yes, that was my thinking of.
Okay, great. All right. Sorry about your throat. All right. So I wasn't sure of the question, so I haven't sort of answered it fully, but I love coming up with new names for things and it's great. And so I do think a different name than the Transit Lounge, although it, you know, you might be able to weave that in as well. I'm not very good at coming up with names on the spot there. So what I'm thinking is if you have any ideas for names, then give them to us because that's going to be a good thought starter. And this is something I would also put in the main group around, like, this is the target audience, exactly what you've said. Here are the names that I've come up with. You can get them to vote on them or you can have us come up with some new ones. And there's lots of women here in this group and in the other group that would be able to support with that. The one thing I want to say is if you can call out your avatar, even if it's like your avatar and their pain point and inside the name, that is really good. Now, Peter Gillian, who is our 2020 Member of the Year, she has a business called Strong Healthy Women. And so her group name was Strong Healthy Women. And she changed it to include the fact that she helps women 50 plus to feel more strong and flexible or whatever her keywords were, because Facebook is a search engine. And so you want to make sure you're weaving that into it. If you look at our her business group, it talks about women business owners, because that's who it's for. Now, even though that's a private group, people are often looking for groups and they'll find our group and we'll tell them that it's actually not open to non-members, but here's how they can find out about membership. So I don't know that, I mean, if anyone has some great ideas for Chandra based on what she said there, then go ahead and pop them in there. Otherwise, I think this is one we can deal with inside of the group. I will keep moving. And again, if you haven't listen to that episode about naming, the podcast episode from Content Cells. Robin, if you could find that link and put it here and also in the follow-up email, that'd be great. And also Amy Lee did a masterclass on how to name products and courses and all those sorts of things as well. And she has a great formula for that. On to pivot content. I'm not sure what that means. We're going to move on to Julie Donnell's question. And this was really a question that was probably better for the main group than it is for me to answer. But we've got a group of us here who are probably using these tools and can help Julie out. But Julie, just so you know, I've also put it in the group. So you'll find some answers there as well. So Julie has a question about identifying the best online booking system for clients to book appointment sessions online. She currently uses Calendly up and running, but wanted to find out if there is a system that anyone would recommend that is easy to use, cost efficient, sends reminders, etc. So please share what tools you're using and I will read those out here for Julie. Julie, there are so many different options, so many different options. And I think for us, the decision that we made to go with OneHub O-N-C-E-H-U-B, is because it integrates with other tools that we use. So with Zoom and with Infusionsoft in our instance. And I'll just head on over to the group because I did, as I said, I posted this for you to see, Chandra's brain is not working, she's saying, to see if there were any other suggestions there for you. And I did post that this morning. So let's see what we've got there. Of course, I can't see it right now. But I know a number of people did pipe in. And so if I can find it here, I will mention it. So what else okay, so Sonia's saying, I think Microsoft offered a free one with Office 365. And Sonia uses HubSpot, which comes with the CRM. Chandra says she uses a free version of You Can Book Me. There are some limitations, but easy to use. And Ange says Timely, Acquity, I don't know how to pronounce that. There are many, depends what else you want to use it for. Yeah, so it sounds like you're using Calendly, which is one that I've seen often used by different people. So what's not working about it, or why are you looking for something different? I look at that. Is it a cost? Is it integration? What seems to be the issue there? And that's probably a question I should have asked you earlier. But there's some suggestions there, and do head on over to the member Facebook group as well. But yeah, the key thing for us is not only the cost, but is it going to reduce the amount of time it takes for us to do things? And for us, the fact that it integrates with Infusionsoft, with that client's record, and with Zoom, which is how we do our appointments, was the reason that we went with that one. So thank you for the question. Alrighty, the lovely Fran Pratt had a question about money. Love these money questions. And you can see how some of these sort of overlap. So some things may have already been answered for you, Fran. So Fran says, what tools do you use to budget and forecast? I'm using Xero and I have a spreadsheet, but is there something better? So if you have an answer to that, go ahead and put something in the chat and I will read it out to Fran. And Fran says also, what routine do you use to keep on top of knowing where your numbers are, weekly, monthly, etc.? So quite often when I'm budgeting, I will still start with a spreadsheet. And the thing with a spreadsheet is that you want it to reflect your chart of accounts inside of Xero so that it can be imported in. And so things kind of match up, if that makes sense. But I will often just start, especially when it relates to a smaller project or a promotion, I'll do a very simple budget so that I know kind of where my break even is, partly because I don't use Xero. The bookkeeper uses Xero. So, but for me, I can quickly nut out some numbers and I can then hand that over to the bookkeeper and say, hey, here's what I'm going for. Can you verify that I've got these numbers right? Is there anything I've forgotten? That's sort of very, very basic budgeting. As far as the routine, every Friday afternoon, I get sent our payables and our receivables. And at any point, I can look at what money's in the bank. And so that is something that is routine every single Friday afternoon before Donna leaves the office, she will send those to me. On a monthly basis, I get the more thorough financials, which are the how we're doing to budget. Okay, so that will show me where we're behind, where we're above, have we had a spike in expenses this month, or because all our venue deposits were due, or is it more buoyant because we've got all our deposits for, the Reach program or the Ideal program or something like that. But something weekly and then something more intense monthly, and then we meet with our accountant. When I say we, I mean PJ meets with our accountant then every quarter for more in-depth things. And certainly our end of year accounts are, are the most, where we're looking for, where are opportunities, where is there depreciation, where do things need to be moved around, or, losses carried over from previous years, et cetera, et cetera. So definitely looking at it weekly so that you know what's coming in, what's going out, and then on a monthly basis, getting more of a snapshot overall, where are things at? That's going to allow you to know, especially when you look at that, your budget to actuals. And then you can look further forward and go, oh, you know what? I had budgeted for this income coming in, but I've now pushed this project 2 months out. That's not going to happen. You don't want to change your budget, but you just want to know that those projections, the cash flow projections, are going to be out a little bit. Is the bookkeeper something you outsource? We have someone who comes in 2 days a week who works on the bookkeeping for her business, which is not very complex, but also for, because PJ and I invest in real estate, so probably most of her bookkeeping work is around our investment business, and then she also does that. But so it is It's not outsourcing, but it's someone in 2 days a week. So if you feel better, Karen, having someone come to your office, a lot of people offer that service. You could outsource it, and a lot of people do that as well. And maybe some people here can talk to what they do. Fran, the other thing on your question is, one thing that we look at every week in our weekly stats, when I meet with the team on a Wednesday, we're always looking at our, how many new mentorees, how many mentorees have left, how many members have left, because we don't get new members all the time. We only open once a year publicly, and then a couple of other times sort of through a sort of very quick open door situation. I can see if we're seeing a lot of attrition, then that's going to impact my cash flow. We also look at the monthly numbers, as I said, because we're reconciling, because Mastermind, we have, another party that earns income from that. And what was the other? There was another stat that I wanted to tell you about. Something like, if you have clients on retainer and you know that retainer is running out in 2 months' time, then that's something that you want to keep your attention on all the time, not just the month before that has to be thought about. Chandra says, I have a bookkeeper who does all the data entry once a month, outsourced. Great. That might be a resource that you might want to follow up with, Karen, if that's of interest to you. But again, depending on the size of your business, how complex your financials are, you may find that having someone come in once a month but coming to you might work. Or you could outsource it but have a meeting once a month where they take you through the numbers. And because I wasn't very numerate, that was not my strength. I would, at one point, I had like red, orange, green lights, right? So the numbers would turn into red, orange, green. So I could have blinked, say, okay, why is that red? And why is that orange? I need to pay more attention to that. It sounds really rudimentary, but that's what I needed when I first started looking at numbers. I'm a little more clued up now, but you just want it to be, what is it that you want to know? And a bookkeeper will help you get the reports in a way that helps you know what you need to know. I hope that helps. All righty. How are we going for time? We are doing great on time. I'm loving seeing all these names here and all these faces, and can't wait to open up your lines and speak to you. If anyone has a question that they would like answered here today, go ahead and do that. Otherwise, what I'm going to do actually, Robin, is I would love to circle around and get everyone's project update before we look at what's coming up next. So don't run away, folks. Even if you don't have much of an update, I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to open up your lines and speak to you. And if you have a question that you'd like answered, go ahead and pop it here. So I'm coming across to the lovely Ange. Ange, what are you working on?
I am working on condensing my content into a one piece of content used 5 times. Basically I'm going to write a blog post, which is then going to be disseminated into social media posts, which is then going to have a download made from it. And I'm trying to do it and a newsletter and a Facebook Live, all together.
Great.
And I'm going to try and get the blog post that somebody else can then take the 5 points out of the blog post to make the 5 media posts. So that's my goal. To get the blog post done initially, it's been proving challenging at this point in time, but I'm going to get it.
Would it be easier for you to do the Facebook Live and then turn that into a blog post? Like if you find going live easier?
Possibly. I still have to do the research and the content on it either way. So it's yeah. Just getting into that rhythm. So it's just me finding the rhythm to get it done. And because I've hurt my arm, it's even proving more difficult. So we'll see.
Yeah, my friend Susan does something very similar to that. She produces one piece of content a week, and it is her everything. And so then it just is having the discipline or the resources to get that first piece done. Because like you said, then someone else can cut and dice it and slice it and present it in other ways. But it's, one of the things that Stu McLaren advised us at our last mastermind with coming up with content was looking at the customer journey and looking at what questions people might have at any part of their journey and making that the topic and using his formula, which I've shared with you here before, which is not trying to make it super complex, looking at a hook, a story, three action, three bullet points, which are your content, a summary and a call to action. That really helped me when it comes to, you know, creating a podcast. Because similarly, like you're writing a blog post, for us, it's like if we can create a blog post, if I can create a podcast and then slice and dice that, then we're only doing one piece of content. Frances says, Ange, have you tried missing the letter? I think it does the pull out quote stuff. Do you know missing letter?
No, but I will look at that.
Okay, great. Great, thanks for that, and great to hear your voice. Thanks. Hope your arm's getting better. Okay.
It is.
Good. Lovely, Anita. Happy New Year.
Hello. Happy New Year. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, perfectly.
That's good.
What are you up to?
Well, I'm lost, to be honest, so I'm not up to much. So I really need to focus on getting my planning done. Just to give me points of focus. I know what I want to work on roughly, but I haven't yet got down into the next level of commitment, if you like. So, that's my focus for the next month or so, is to get all that ironed out. Our renovation's nearly done. We're back from holidays, all of that. So once all of those things are done, then I will have more space in my mind for all of that. So feeling a bit lost at the moment, but I'll get there.
I hear you. I find it so interesting how burnt out we can get at the end of a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've completed all these goals, we've had all these wins, and then we just go like a balloon, and then we have to pump ourselves, you know, back up. Yeah. And I feel like it's universal, but a little more in Australia, just because of the, we have such a long downtime at that time of year for many industries, that it can be like cranking back up. So you just be gentle on yourself. I think once you create a vision that you're inspired by, that some things will fall into place. And, you know, it may not be, you know, the 13th of January, but it might be on the 23rd of January that you feel like, okay, I've got this. And, you know, managing a house renovation, it's like stressful as well. So give yourself a break.
Thank you. No, I feel like I need that space. So I'm definitely doing that. Thank you.
Yeah, oh, you're welcome. Deb, hi. Deb. Okay, I'll come back to Deb. Fran.
Hey.
How you doing?
sorry that my information about missing letter was a bit obscure. But what I think it does is it takes your RSS feed and it pulls out the quotes and creates Facebook posts and LinkedIn posts and all of that sort of stuff out of it. I've bought it, but I haven't quite set it up. But a friend of mine uses it really, really effectively. So, which is why I bought it. Note to self, alrighty. I must get onto it. Anyway,
what are you up to? Now, you're selling your program, right?
Yeah, so I've got two things that kind of lead into another. So, yep, I've just launched Me Powered Selling for 2020. So I've only launched it today, and I sold a seat last week pre-launch.
Yay.
So only 7 more to go, so that's nice. And I'm doing a free masterclass on the 30th, which might back on really nicely to PJ's, which is about knowing your numbers from a sales perspective. So often we set ourselves a budget. I want 10,000 a month, 20,000, 100,000, whatever X, whatever the number is. But then we've got to break that down into activity that actually says, right, well, how many clients is that? And how many meetings in that? And what proposals or whatever, what are the measurements that are meaningful for you? So I actually take those monthly figures and annual figures and break them back into daily, weekly, monthly activity, so that we don't sit at the end of the month and go, oh, I didn't reach that budget, because I actually wasn't doing the activity level that led to that. So that's a free masterclass I'm running on the 30th, and that'll back into hopefully getting some people on board, or more people, my last couple of seats on board for my Me Powered Selling, which is starting early Feb. So,
oh, good. That was my question. Okay, got it.
Yeah, it starts early, the first week in Feb. And one of the things that I'm also doing when I'm running that is because I kind of just do it ad hoc. So as I'm doing it, I'm actually thinking about the connection, awareness, desire, buy and wow phases.
Great.
And documenting that out so that when I do launch, the second launch for 2020, because I'm doing one every school term.
Got it.
That I have a system and I know when I'm starting and what those dates are, and that's all pre-planned. So yeah, so I'm running it ad hoc and I'm collecting so that next time it runs more seamlessly.
Thank you so much. Ange says, thanks, Frances. I'll definitely look into that. And Karen says, Frances, that sounds awesome. The other thing is, because you are doing them once every term, you're always going to be in one of those stages. You're always going to be in connection or awareness or, you know, so it's, which is just good to be aware of, because sometimes we can like go, now I'm promoting. No, I'm not. Now I'm promoting. Like, you're always doing one of those stages.
Yeah, and I'm going to be doing these masterclasses every month. So I've mapped out my themes, my monthly themes.
Great.
So what I'm doing is taking people through basically the sales cycle. So numbers, knowing your numbers, getting referrals, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Very good. Thank you, Fran. All right, I'm going to try Deb again. Oops, sorry, that's Fran. That's not Deb. This is jumping around on me. Deb, can you
That's
hear me?
Better. It works this time.
All righty. Off Hello. You go. Hello. What are you up to?
As I said, I was working, so I didn't have video on. I'm doing my budgeting as we speak. Great. I'm just finishing my, doing my planning, and then I want to get back onto the projects that I didn't actually finish last year. So I'm in doing a few hours a day at the moment. So I'm very excited to actually be able to contribute to my life for the first time in a year. So I'm very excited.
And I'm so excited to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, I've seen you twice in 2 weeks.
I know,
amazing.
I know. It's only did overwhelm.
No, I love it. I love seeing you. Yeah, thank you so much, Deb.
Thank
Glad
you.
To hear that budgeting and planning is happening. And it's all, you know, sets the tracks for where we're going for the year. Hello, Jane.
Hi.
How are
Hi.
You?
Yeah, I'm really good. Thanks. Thanks for answering that question. And that's really related to my project right now. I'm hoping you can hear me. I have an unstable connection. So, yeah.
All good.
So we are still growing very fast, which is great. So we've had 3 new clients and we're about to start 3 new major projects for an existing client. So that's means we're bringing on people, we're upgrading IT systems and things like that. But that brings a whole lot of issues around systemizing. So my project is to systemize everything to enable that to happen more smoothly.
Yeah,
and for me
really
to feel
powerful.
As if I have some control,
even if it's an illusion.
I feel I have any control on it. Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a great problem to have, but it can create massive problems and perhaps endanger the business if we don't have, those things sorted and just understanding. Just putting in systems. So my project is just looking at that. We're also launching a new website in February. And I've got a couple of other projects sort of bubbling away in my brain. So, yeah.
Thank you. Well, congratulations on the new clients. And you do bring up a great point. It's like we can grow ourselves broke, you know, if we don't have the systems in place to be able to deal with the additional expenses or the way, you know, there can be a lot of gaping holes when, you know, a lot of us are going, oh, I want more clients. And then when we do get them more clients and we move from that point of needing new clients to actually having a successful business, we just have different problems. And so, you know, they usually become around people and team, people and systems, sorry. So that's where your attention is going now, which is perfect. Yeah, great. Very good.
Absolutely. Yep. Thanks.
Judy, hey there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Are you well now? I know you were a little unwell.
Yeah, good. I needed a holiday or a week to work. Now it's getting back into work mode. we've had a good start to 2020. We've got two major ongoing projects, restoring old buildings. And as my husband just said to me the other day, they're always giving. They always need a little bit more work to bring them back up. So my project really is planning my calendar. I've got it. It's the structure's there. It's just adding all the different smaller projects and trying to create more of a consistent workflow.
Yes.
Because we do have periods where it's very quiet, winter and holidays, etc. And just like Jane, I have to work on our systems and the websites. And they'll be the main projects, I think, for the year.
Very good. Well, I'm glad you're off to a great start. And how interesting to be working on old homes. I know nothing about any of that, but it sounds very interesting.
One's a town hall and one's a motel.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, do keep us in the loop. I'd love to see some photos as you progress. And that's actually really great content to share, on your social, those it projects is. As you move along.
Very interesting.
Very good. Thank you, Judy.
I just don't find that maybe it's the way I write it or just not getting out to the right people at the moment. They're not very interested because it's old.
Okay.
Anyway,
well, if you have questions about that, go ahead and put them in the group because we might be able to help you brainstorm some ideas.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Karen.
Hello. How are you?
Hey. Good. Glad you could make it.
Thank you. I have my team doing very well with appointments in and out. So it's good. So project-wise, I'm still working on building our team and getting the right team in place. So coming into the new teaching year, I'm going to reshare our values, purpose, all of those that I was working on at the end of last year. So that's a very big element of what I'm doing. And then obviously systems and more systems, especially because we opened two new centres on the 3rd of February. So that's, I know. So that'll make 7 branches that we actually own. So it's very exciting, but of course we're project managing and trying to get furniture delivered and fit outs completed and all of those things. But one of them is really exciting because we've actually repurposed a football stadium. So we're actually going to be in the corporate boxes of a football stadium and overlooking a soccer field and all of those sorts of things. So it's been a really cool rebuild. And, our boys are all super excited because they can do tutoring while watching a soccer game potentially. I said, I'm going to need good curtains to put down if the games are on because otherwise you're going to get no work done. But it is a really lovely sort of atmosphere that we're creating in a very big community area. So we're hoping to get on board with the, because it's actually part of Club Marconi, which is a pretty big soccer group.
Oh, right.
And so we're hoping with them that it's going to bring up some community initiatives that we can get involved in, which will start to get us out there as the people who are known for remedial help. So I've got a lot of projects bubbling. I'm now just trying to go hone in and also looking at the way that I'm managing that, because I sort of monitored the end of last year and realized I was getting asked about 300 questions a day from staff. And realised this is why I wasn't actually getting anything that I needed to get done. So I'm working on structured meeting with each of my main staff members once a week to go, this is what you got to do, this is how you got to do it. And every time that they come and ask me a question, I'm going to have a button or something that says, what do you think? What do you think?
How many direct reports do you have?
So I've got a centre manager pretty much for each centre, but I've also got my operations manager and then Mark, my husband, he's our project manager. So he's dealing with all the new startups. So even though we've got these two that are opening in February, he's already on to the one that we're hoping to open in July as well. So, but it's just, it's giving them the ownership that they can actually make decisions, that I don't have to make them all. You know, like even down to, you know, what's in the student's lesson plan. I don't need to be making that decision. You know, so I'm just working on them having the confidence to go, it's okay. And if you stuff it up, we can fix it. It's not a problem.
So that's retraining them, but also retraining yourself and, you know, having that, or what do you think, you know, is part of retraining you to, you know, to not be the fixer. And I know how difficult that can be. And there might be a stage soon, if you're growing so fast, that you might have someone that sits between you and them.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? Just someone who is that person that is very capable and knows the business well enough and knows, you know, that you're meeting one-on-one with, and then they're disseminating, leaving you and your husband to do more of the business development. But it's very, very exciting. Yeah, and you're getting lots of congratulations, and this is fantastic, Karen, all those things here in the group.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Very exciting, you guys. Chandra.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, can you talk?
Yeah, I can. It's not too bad. It was an unwelcome gift from Mick. Yeah, man flu, and I resisted for a long time. But anyway, so my project for first quarter is linked to the refining of my niche from being probably too broad, too many variations of the who the person could be, to honing in more on that person that is in corporate role, unfulfilled, wants to leave to start their own thing. But that may be a long journey for some people. For others, it's like, no, I'm cracking it and I'm out. So just shifting and honing in my messaging to be much more around that audience. And so specifically focusing on the Facebook group to be changing the name and content strategy to be speaking more specifically to that kind of person, and to grow that group to 500 members.
Oh, great. Oh, good. You've got some definite numbers.
Yes. Mm. I've been loving working with PJ, doing the mentoring, which is fantastic. And he's excellent reminding me that I get very excited about wanting to do all the things all at once and distracted by all the shiny. So, my project is to be super focusing in on that for now, and linked to that will be using the group members I do have already and building more to research to come up with a new lead magnet that's going to be, you know, I guess ideal for that kind of person, so I can be growing my lead as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm very, keen to see this group develop as a very niche that you've identified. And the one question I had, and I don't know that I can answer the question, but the question I had was, I wonder whether for some of these women, if there's going to be a way that you need to mitigate any sense that, like, they might be thinking of a side hustle, but they don't want their boss to know.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to, you know, so they're just thinking about confidentiality in that group and what you might need to create around your guidelines or sort of thing.
I think it's something that probably has been a bit of a hindrance even so far with people that on the public page, people not wanting to be, you know, participating in something that basically would be declaring that they're not happy in their job. And
yes,
so I guess the private group does give one layer of separation. However, they don't know who else is in the group.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's where I think the languaging will probably need to consider that protection of, hey, this doesn't mean that you're quitting your job today. It might just
But you want to start a side hustle.
Side hustle. You know? So it may have to lean that way.
Yeah.
Knowing that it's, you know, or that it's something around side hustle, solopreneur, one day, that sort of thing. Which is why I'm thinking, oh, I thought I was really refining it in and making it easier, but there's still things to consider on that front.
Yeah, and it's just something to consider. It doesn't make it not possible at all. And, you know, the whole idea of having a side hustle has become so much more common now that may be an entry into it, because, you know, people are Uber drivers or they're graphic designers for, you know, whomever. Shania, was it? Sorry. Oh, okay. Sorry, that was sounds like someone I know sits on your Falordo. Oh, I think we're talking about shiny things. Okay. I'm going to stop looking at the shiny things showing up in the thread. But I think, yeah, I think that's great. I love that you've got a niche. There might be some things to sort out, but let's go ahead and get the name. And you'll start to see what sort of conversations. People will let you know if it's like, oh, I'd like to share more, but, you know, yeah.
Yep.
All
yep.
good, I think.
Yeah. And the, even the people that... because I got that flurry of sort of new members from a post in Like-Minded Bitches. And even from that, like there's some people that have connected to, you know, that are saying, oh, I've got two side hustles and, you know, I work at, at a bank and whatever. So I think if the more that people see that other people are, you know, talking about what they're doing and what's next, hopefully it makes it them feel like there's...
Yeah. And I think that's a really good group for you, the Like-Minded Bitches one. And I think that you could even do something like, so you want to start a side hustle or look, I'm thinking of, you know, creating a community for women who want to start a side hustle, don't necessarily want to leave and just start to, I know they don't allow promotion, but yep. you could use it as a place to just try stuff out, try messaging or even get a litmus test for, you know, how many of you, you know, want to start a side hustle, but you don't want to leave your job or you, I don't know. You could use it as a place to do some sort of mini surveying to get a sense of what the objections are.
Yeah. And as the podcast shifts this year to be more interviews with women over 40 that have made significant career change.
Yes.
That can be something that I can promote. That's not too promo-y. Like I think it's okay to do that in that group. That may also attract some other people through that as well. But anyway, we'll see.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Very, very good. All righty. We are coming to Sian.
Hi, everyone. How am I? I am seriously sleep deprived. And we kind of hosted a mini festival up here in the small community of Nowandoc on the weekend. And it was huge by Nowandoc standards. And all But for various reasons, I'm like two nights with very little sleep. I did get some sleep last night. But anyway, so a bit brain dead and exhausted, but was really glad that I remembered the Q&A this morning before I went back to bed to give myself a Monday computer. and I've been really off track and offline for about the last month. So, Susie, it was good to hear you say in Australia it's a bit like that. And certainly I feel like that's very much the case, that there's not a lot of productive things I can do. Mind you, listening to today has made me think that, you know, certainly I could have, you know, spent some time developing systems, which I know would serve me well, but I have been not paying, giving energy to. But after feeling overwhelmed, having received a return ticket to Europe as a Christmas gift and going, oh my God, that's a month out of my year, I spent some time scheduling in my calendar, and that was just so reassuring because it made, oh, well, okay, I can do what I want and need to do and have these chunks of time out. So that was good. So that was a bit of a project and made me see where the projects are. My main project is still the shift to getting in-house work. So I'm trying to set myself realistic goals. And so I'll be really happy if I get three new clients actually with bookings either delivered or not by the end of this year.
Wow.
And also I'm resisting, I saw myself as I started the year, which is typical, oh, I could, which was taking me back to staging and hosting public events. And I actually started like checking venues and dates and then I thought, hold on, that's not what I'm doing. So I'm doing a couple of those because they are good to serve existing clients and they are good to get a few new potential clients. So I want to keep that ticking over, but I don't want it to sidetrack me. And I've also made a commitment to writing this year. So I've bought that special you put up and I'd already, that was a bright, shiny object.
Which one was that? Was that from the Writers' Centre?
Writers' Centre. They had a
half-hour
in November and I knew I couldn't do anything until like February, but I thought, okay, you know, I have been saying and other people have been saying you should do this. And I thought, well, okay, that'll, you know. So I was a bit afraid I wasn't going to make the most of that, but I was able to look at that requirement and schedule that into my calendar as well. So they're right. really my two main things, and I see them as related. I also was going to have another goal, but I'm going to tell my goals group that's off the list now. Which is basically to work out how to run run online courses using Zoom rooms. I just don't think I'm going to have the, you know, headspace and time to get myself around all of those things. So I'm giving myself, trying to keep myself in line and, you know, stick with a few things that will just keep things moving forward enough and allow me to have, you know, love the life that I have basically and, keep me moving forward. So that's, who I am. Yeah.
Love it. And, you know, we can have the overseas trip and we can have the extended stay. We can have all of that if we design it that way, right? If we identify what it is that we want and then we design it and then we move into action after that. So very excited to hear you pull yourself back when you saw yourself going down a route that was perhaps just old behavior, like, oh, I used to do these things and I'm going to look for venues and then saying, no, that's not what I'm doing. And having that grittiness around this new vision that you have for yourself takes a lot of courage. It takes all those elements of grit that I mentioned in my post this morning of, you know, that resilience. I'm going to try this. It didn't work. I'm going to try again. Or the conscientiousness of making sure you've covered off all the details and going back to your goals group and saying, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. Because remember, we're here about, you know, being focused. Very exciting. And someone's calling you a party girl. Chandra's calling you a party girl for your sleepless nights. I have Sonia Filorto to go and then we will move on from there. Sonia, how are you?
I think I'm good. I'm with Anita, so I'm so glad I'm not alone. I just feel so relieved. But one thing I did do this morning is I made a list because I'm such a list girl, but yeah. It was all in my head. Everything's just sort of hit the fan at the moment. So I've made a list and I've made a promise to myself that I'm not looking at the shiny objects like everybody else can do, which I'm really distracted to do. So yeah. I've got, 6 things on my list and I need to knock over at least 2 this week. And one of them is a speaking gig on Thursday, which I really need to get my act together, which will be fun. So I don't want to bore you with the details, but I've got my list here and I've written them all up.
Great.
And I just need to focus on that for now. And everything else has to just basically wait. So that's where I am, Susie.
Thank you. Well, less but better is a strategy.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's not about more. It's less but better. Listen, my best friend, says Sean. Very good. Thank you, Sonia. Now a couple of people have had to jump off. There are a couple of things I do want to let you all know about. The first of which is we have a live in-person event next month on the 11th of February. And Robin will be posting all the details inside of the Facebook group today or tomorrow so that you have that date in your diary. It's once again at the University of Technology and I cannot wait to see you. Once again, it'll be a full day of implementation. Also coming up, and it's coming up next week, is our next workshop. Now, the reason that, you know, the Q&A and the workshop are so close together is just because it's that time of year and, you know, we didn't want to do anything too early in the year when nobody was available. So next week, we're going to kick into talking about what is our February theme, which is people. Now, I think I said to you sort of towards the end of last year that one of the things I'm really going to be on about with everybody here this time is around building your team, building those resources around you, whether it's that outsourced bookkeeper, whether it's actually people on your team, whether it's that 2IC that's going to take Karen out of the day-to-day, and give her more leverage as she's growing all these different centers. The question is not, you know, I can't afford it. That's not a question. The question is, how can I afford it? And where do I need to be put my resources in order to feel like I'm working as part of a team? And so we're going to be talking about team, not only the people inside of your business or your virtual assistants or your contractors, but also your suppliers and how to get the most from those. But really how to start to think, because when we look at employee, self-employed, business owner, investor, a business owner has people on their team. That's the difference between a solopreneur and a business owner. Now, you might be a solopreneur and you've got 3 staff, a virtual assistant, but if all the responsibility and all the decision-making is still on your shoulders, then you're sitting very much in that solopreneur. And what we want to do is, in order for us to move into being a business owner or an entrepreneur, then we need to have some people on board. So we're going to be talking people. The date that you want to put in your schedule for the masterclass with PG is the 29th of January. It's going to be 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. The other thing that we have that starts tomorrow is the Content Sales Master Course. Now, this is a free marketing course. It's not for you if you do not need any shiny objects, but if marketing is part of the big areas for you for this quarter, then you might want to tap into the contentsalescourse.com, get your free seat. This is a pre-recorded course that is led by me and Michelle Falzon, and it takes you through four different lessons. And it's about lead magnets and traffic and creating amazing content that attracts, converts, and keeps your clients. If you want to do that, head on over to Content Sales Course. Finally, our summit. Our summit is coming up the first week of February. And just before we went live today, we clocked over 1,000 people registered. So I am so excited because it's a really, really good summit lineup. And I hope you've locked in your seat. One of the reasons that I wanted to mention it is because during the summit, from the 3rd to the 7th, every day I do a Facebook Live and I bring on a member who has seen that session to talk about their highlights. And I want to make this available to you as idealists to be my guests on those summit sessions. It's a great way to get your face out there. It's a good way to speak up and show up. And it's just a little bit of fun while you're watching the summit. So closer to the time, I will let you know. Yeah, and thank you for the congratulations. I will be coming to you from the Tamworth Country Music Festival session. Oh, wow. So, and Sonia's looking forward to the summit. Yeah, we've put the link there for you. It's herbusinessgrowthsummit.com. It's free, but you do need to reserve your place. Alrighty. I was so glad to hear that Deb's doing multiple hours of power every single day. I do want to remind you that this is a very easy resource for you to just find an hour, like get that to-do list, Sonia, spend 1 hour working deep on one of those things just to move it forward. Sometimes you can't get the whole thing done in an hour, but a focused hour can move things forward so much. We are such a distracted society that actually spending an hour on one thing without checking your phone, without checking your Facebook feed, you know, without interruptions without a call is a really real opportunity for you to do some deep work. So let me know how you go. Share in the group. Thank you so much for those of you who asked questions today. For those of you who are listening to the recording, thank you for listening. Ask your questions inside the group. I will see you back here in 1 week's time. I will be back in Sydney then for our next workshop. Enjoy your day. For those of you who are not feeling your best, feel better soon. Bye for now. Thank you, everyone.